Eminem is one of the biggest stars in the history of hip-hop. Because of that reputation and commercial power, it's often assumed that just being near him is enough to uplift your career. But if you take a look at his track record when it comes to signing artists to Shady Records, his success rate is scarily low. At this point, it's so bad that it's a miracle anyone even still wants to sign a deal with his Aftermath-backed label. As the label turns 25 years old, they've racked up a huge catalog of failures that has left too many talented spitters to wither on the shelf, taking their best years as an MC from them to the point that they usually end up barely escaping with their careers. But is Eminem really the one to blame for their failures, or can someone make the argument that the artist did it to themselves? It's your boy Luesta, and today we're investigating some of the stories of the rappers who signed to Shady and how it all went wrong. And by the end of the video, I want you to comment down below who's at fault for their downfalls. This video is brought to you by Manscaped.com. The global men's lifestyle brand that's taken over the beard market. With a beard as fresh as mine, I'm excited to be one of the first to get an exclusive preview of the Beard Hedger by Manscaped. The Beard Hedger trimmer comes with a powerful 7200 RPM motor and a titanium-coated T-blade. It effortlessly cuts through even the thickest hair in a single stroke. Whether you prefer a 5 o'clock shadow or a lion's mane, the Zoom wheel lets you choose from 20 different hair-cutting lengths using just one guard. The beard trimmer is also waterproof, cordless, and rechargeable. You can even trim in the shower to save time and reduce mess. Manscaped also offers dermatologist-tested beard care products to help you grow and nourish a magnificent beard. For example, their beard oil is infused with sweet almond, sunflower seed, and jojoba seed oils. You can also cleanse your beard with their beard shampoo, which is cruelty-free, paraben-free, sulfate-free, dye-free, and vegan. Nourish your beard with their beard conditioner and style it with their beard balm, which smells amazing with a fresh blend of eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit includes all of these items, as well as a travel case, a free gift, and a bunch of other beard accessories like a comb, brush, and scissors. So whether you're starting your beard journey or looking to upgrade your current routine, Manscaped is here to help you grow a legendary beard. Visit manscaped.com today and get 20% off plus free shipping when you use promo code Luesta at the checkout. That's 20% off plus free international shipping with promo code Luesta, spelled as Luaista, at manscaped.com. Join over 8 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped today. Now let's get back into the video. When you look at the stories from across the news, 3 decades into the label's existence, there are some common issues that seemingly always find their way to the surface. And it might suggest that when it's all said and done, Eminem really just doesn't know how to use his power to help other artists. One man who felt the fall from grace that can come with a short-lived successful run at Shady is none other than Obi Trice. Obi Trice, real name, no gimmicks. Hailing from the same city as M, Detroit's own Obi Trice, real name no gimmicks, first caught Shady's attention while the rapper was still on the rise himself. It was a hot summer day and Eminem just dropped the Marshall Mathers LP. I shot out there from the hood, jumped in the Regal, shot up there to the studio, and spit for him from the passenger side of his car and gave him a CD, and he was like, alright, I'll holla. I really didn't think nothing of it. At that time in my life, my whole thought process was all fucked up. I ain't really seen the future with what I was going through. It wasn't like, oh my god, I just met Eminem. I really didn't see the vision that I could be saved or found like that until I got the phone call that they were ready for me. He changed my life around. He definitely changed my change in my pocket. Officially signed to Shady in 2000, Obi had that kind of competitive spirit that Eminem would gravitate towards, and has even been on record saying that he bodied Eminem on every track they did together. On his debut album, Cheers, Obi got maybe the biggest Eminem stimulus package we have ever seen. Not only did Shady produce a bunch of songs on the record, but he also appeared on 5 tracks. As a result, the record went gold, and in a rare occurrence for an artist signed to the label, it looked like Obi had enough skill and support to stand on his own 2 feet. As a result, when it came time to drop Second Rounds on Me, Obi was insistent that an overworked Shady should take a step back.
You know, I came out with Second Rounds on Me, which was an album that I did really without the help of Eminem. Like, I kind of really did that myself and brought it to Eminem's attention because I didn't believe that he should be working on my album, D12's album, 50 Cent, and he's an artist himself, you know, like, I just wanted them to give him a break. I showed him that, You know, I can bring you an album without you having to be there every day and be involved in that.
Although Eminem was impressed, the sales didn't equal to what he had done before. And with only one shady feature, the project sold exactly half. In 2008, Obi would leave the label once and for all, and since then, he's offered various explanations about what went wrong. For one thing, he had the misfortune of rising to fame around the same time as Shady's most successful signee.
50 really did it to me, man. If there was no 50 Cent, my shit would have been out of here. All that momentum he had, like Wangsta, when he came out, man, it was just like, you know, we fuck with Obi, but this guy right here is Tupac. Shot 9 times. Whoa, shit. I'm like, damn, I'm talking. My brother was my manager at the time. I'm like, damn, we gotta get shot out here, bro.
On top of that, he felt that M's star power and how active he was in the game stifled his ability to foster his own relationships. Back then, when M didn't move, we did suffer some consequences from that. When I asked for a beat from Pharrell, in order for him to give me a beat, Eminem had to get on one of his songs and one of his beats as well. It was like, we give you this, and then you can get this. But like many of the signees to Shady, Obi doesn't think he was blameless. Because at the time, he was missing promo appearances, getting on Interscope boss Jimmy Iovine's bad side, and generally messing up. You know, I was young. Fresh out the hood, jumped into this music thing. It was a little overwhelming for me. I didn't seize the moment when I should've, so I had to move on, and that's just how things go. It's a business first, and that's just how it was. Everything cool though. Those are still my people over there at Interscope and Shady. That's family for life. On his independent grind since 2012, Obi is still immensely respected by fans who remember those early days of Shady. The only issue is that once he's left the label, no one beyond his hardcore fanbase are really checking for him anymore. Unfortunately, he wasn't the only one who suffered this fate, and it's one that Stat Quo knows all too well. A Dirty South lyricist who was killing it on a regional level, Stat Quo signed in 2003. Alongside 50, he was the only other artist to be signed to both Dre and Shady at the same time. With that kind of buzz he had, and how much additional fanfare he received after his appearances on the compilation album The Re-Up, Quo's debut album, Statlanta, was constantly teased. But sadly, the record wouldn't emerge until after he had been kicked off the label. After repeatedly being stalled, Stat got frustrated about the direction of the project, and in one ill-advised attempt to assert his authority, he lost his connection to Eminem.
It was a song called Dance On It. M wrote the chorus, and M wanted me to say the chorus, and I thought it was not good. If I would have said, yeah, that's it, that's the one we're going with, then I would have got my album. But I tried to be on some, nah, I don't like that, that ain't a hit. And I really was arguing with like the top selling rapper of all time on what a fucking hit was. What a dumb idiot I was. My exact quote was, I'll put it out if you stay on the hook. And then I said, well, if you give me $1 million, then I'll put it out. When I said that, me and Eminem went like this. It was a rap. He was mad as shit.
Having stayed on the independent circuit ever since then, Stat's true potential as an elite Southern MC was never fulfilled. Now it seems like he feels some type of way about that, as if you believe D12's Bizarre, Stat allegedly ghostwrote the game's Black Slim Shady diss.
So you weren't a fan?
Of that song? No, yeah, no. No, I think he could have did better.
Yeah.
Or Stat Quo could have did better.
What'd you say?
Or Stat Quo could have did better.
What are you trying to say? Are you saying Stat Quo helped write the song?
Hey, I ain't saying nothing, man. Shout out the game, man.
Where Stat might have turned his back on Shady, the same can't be said for Cassius. A Californian MC who became known as the greatest rapper in Orange County, Cassius jumped at the chance to sign with M's label in 2004. In fact, an entire barbershop overheard his conversation with Shady.
Once M called, like 2 days later, I was in a barbershop, you know what I mean? And he called, I'm like, I put it on speaker, I'm like, nigga, this Eminem. Listen, hear his voice, this Eminem right now. The nigga's like, what?
Kept on the shelf for 2 years before surfacing on The Re-Up, Cassius made the most of the opportunity that came with being on the project and gave some of the standout verses on the entire album. Soon, he followed up the release with the County Hound EP in 2007, and with that, it looked like he was ready to blow. But like a lot of his contemporaries from that era, the changing realities of the music business left him shelved as the label focused on bigger stars. It wasn't anything over at Shady Records, it was just at Interscope Records. They were like, we can get Cassius and he can do a few hundred thousand, but M and 50? It was doing 10 million at the time, so it just made more sense for them to come with their albums. After leaving the label in 2011 to go independent, Cassius believed this era basically represented the beginning of the end of Shady as a company that could really push stars. It's the politics of the game. Sometimes at a label, you spend too much and you gotta bring back something into your parent company, and they have to go with the top acts at that time. Obi Trice's second Rounds on Me had come out, and they didn't really push his album as they should've. That started a downfall for us as a company at that point. So M had to come out and do the most with our albums to make that money back. Obi's album was slamming, but it don't matter how dope your project is. You see what happened to some of 50 Cent's last project. It don't matter how good it is. If you're not getting the right promotion, you can only do so much. Renamed The Art of Dying, Cassius' debut album wouldn't be released until 2012 and never made anywhere near the impact that it could've if it had been released on the major label imprint. But by Cassius' own admission, he, much like Eminem, had his own demons to fight at the time.
Cause I wanted to release music, and at that point, it was a struggle, like a personal struggle, you know? Like I used to, before the era became cool, like I was like for real, like a, you know, a pill head dude, like, you know, like 100 Xanax, 100 volumes, like his documented people. Like, there ain't nothing to brag about because somebody could probably die trying to play like how I was playing then. So I wasn't as interested in the music as I should have been.
A man who is still connected to the Shady system as a writer, Cassius has always went to bat for Eminem. And even Dis-Benzino when their feud bubbled to the surface once again.
I ran a search on Benzino with Google and Black. Just pictures of motel with some nigga he bae.
But where Cassius thinks his own substance issues played a role in his demise as a major label artist, Bobby Creekwater feels that M's own battle with drugs meant that he wasn't in the position to guide anyone else's career. Rather than being sent music directly by Bobby, Eminem first heard about him through another rapper named Daseem, who had Bobby featured on his demo. Immediately, Shady was more intrigued by what he heard coming from Bobby and signed him in mid-2005. With a style reminiscent of Outkast's Andre 3000, Bobby had people's attention on mixtapes like Anthem to the Streets and Back to Briefcase. But in 2009, he revealed that he was done with Eminem's label, citing differences over the direction of his career.
I, Bobby Creekwater, I'm officially off Shady. I'm no longer with Shady no more. It's a part of ways, it was a business decision. It wasn't no bad blood or nothing like that. You understand what I'm saying? The relationship just ran its term. You understand what I'm saying? And as far as Bobby Creek is concerned, I got big plans for Bobby Creekwater. You know what I'm saying? So that particular relationship wasn't helping me. As far as the plans I have for Bobby Creek.
Much like Cassius, Bobby seemed to believe that Interscope knowing that an M record would pull in huge numbers meant that the Shady artists were always a lesser priority.
Basically, it was this. M or Shady had to pay some bills because they had released some projects that didn't do as well as they planned or what have you. So M had to go make that right. And M making that right, Creek would have had to do more waiting. As an artist, you are your first concern. You know what I'm saying? Like, I am my first concern, so I couldn't afford for it.
Speaking a year on, Bobby got more specific about some of the other problems plaguing the label. Namely, he believed M's drug addiction derailed the Shady re-up era. It was an unfortunate thing that a cast that talented and all the plans that we had didn't come to fruition. As far as Eminem is concerned, I can possibly speak on what he was going through at the time. I do know that the industry in this game has a lot of pressures, and the higher up you go, the harder it gets. He was responsible for a label and being responsible for artists and their dreams. To be honest, I was definitely worried about my status as an artist. Like many of his fellow artists, Bobby's album would finally surface in 2011 and did essentially nothing. Now, he hasn't even released music in over 3 years. With Bobby, the Shady label mishandled him so much to the point that he could never really get a solid buzz. While almost a decade later, Griselda's Westside Gunn and Conway the Machine would only escape the label with their careers intact thanks to their unrelenting hustle. A Buffalo rap crew who brought their own form of brooding boom bap to the world, Conway the Machine and Westside Gunn signed to Shady as part of a joint deal. Meanwhile, their cousin, Benny the Butcher, opted to remain independent. After the release of WWCD on the label, the crew looked to be moving in a positive direction. But as time went on, their leader, Westside Gunn, felt that the label didn't sufficiently promote him or Griselda, which he publicly displayed on Twitter in a tweet that read, "I wonder if at Shady Records knows we're nominated for a BET award tonight." Around the time that he dropped his own solo Shady release, Who Made the Sunshine, a fan noticed Eminem had given a plug to the Alchemist's album, which wasn't released via Shady, but not to Westside Gunn's project that dropped the same day. No post of Westside Gunn's album that's on your own label? LOL, what the fuck? After all that went down, Westside saw it as the final straw, and he left.
I'm off Shady.
That was the last joint, right?
Yeah. I'm off Shady. I'm actually a free agent.
How's that feel?
Feel great. Who Made the Sunshine was it.
Later, Westside argued that he saw the Shady platform as a means to expand their brand, not to become a part of the Eminem system.
When I was signed to Shady, I never even wanted to do an Eminem song because it don't even mix. I don't do shit just because, I'm with Shady. I got to do 100 Eminem songs. It wasn't like that. It was just like, you know, the opportunity of being over there with them guys. That's all I really wanted, you know what I'm saying? But I still wanted to have my sound.
Despite the fact that he initially seemed to be at peace with his decision, Westside has since argued with Eminem fans online, even majorly shading his former label boss. Bro think he's shady. I'd rather jump off a bridge. Speaking of getting off on the wrong foot with Eminem's audience, his brother Conway the Machine was always uncomfortable on Shady. Within weeks of getting his first Eminem collab on Bang, he took aim at M's listenership and how they fixated on the label boss.
What was that tidal wave like when suddenly all the Eminem fans became aware of what you guys are doing?
A bunch of nerds and stands and shit that don't understand me and don't relate to what I bring to the table with my music. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
It's just like, fuck all that. Where is M? Where is Eminem? We want an M album.
Much like his brother, Conway fulfilled his deal and bounced with his album God Don't Make Mistakes. Not even given so much as an Eminem feature to boost sales, he actually said that Shady didn't have any tangible effect on his project.
How much input did M have on this project, if any?
None.
What about feedback-wise? Does he give you feedback?
Yeah. I'm going to keep it 100. I went to Detroit and I was in, you know, M's studio, M, Paul, Royce, and played them the album front to back, and he fucked with every record. I was like, this shit is ready to go.
When it was released, the project, which was met with critical acclaim, landed at 175 on the charts. And in a testament to just how poorly Shady functions as a label these days, he actually has better numbers on the independently released From a King to a God 2 years prior. From Westside Boogie being forced to wait 3 years between the release of Everything's For Sale and More Black Superheroes, which led him to fail to chart the second time around, to new artists like Grip and Easy Mill getting about as much traction as they would have if they stayed independent, the legacy of Shady Records is really in jeopardy. So, is there any way back for the label, or is it doomed to be seen as a failure? For one thing, what's clear is that the formula of giving them a Shady feature and expecting this to amount to a career is not working, particularly when they don't ever get a placement on his albums, which would be a far superior platform. Last time he had someone that was on his label appear on his album was 50 Cent, and that was in 2009. Besides that, the label, which proudly declares "Trust Us" as their motto at the top of their website, doesn't actually have any kind of identity at this point, other than being known for Shady himself. No one fits on the Shady roster because M doesn't do anything with any of the artists. He should just retire the label. As a result of this, the perception is that signing to M isn't some life-changing event. Instead, it's just a similar pattern which will ultimately lead to another flaw. Sign to Shady and you get an Eminem verse, a Sway freestyle that says Eminem's new artist goes off, and then they stop answering your calls. From Obi Trice onwards, each man on the Shady roster, not named 50 Cent, has never been able to escape the M connection. So much so that even after they leave, many of them can't get their careers back on track. And unfortunately, someone with a fanbase like Shady's is unlikely to ever be a successful label boss when the expectation of his fans are a part of the problem. Eminem's fanbase is so globally big that a majority won't give anyone else the time of day after they hear M's part in a track that he does for a new artist. No matter what you spit about or how different you are from Eminem, you're always going to be compared to him by a mass majority of people who hear you for the first time. Signing to Shady should be a golden opportunity. However, it's clear it's anything but that. And unless newer signees like Grip and Easy Mill can change that perception, then the failures of his label will be one of the few blemishes on M's Hall of Fame career. If you're interested in finding out what happened to Slaughterhouse and Yelawolf, you can click the videos on the screen.